It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this prayer-beaten Wednesday, the 1st of 2022. It is the 5th day of January, 2022. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. Hi, I'm Robin. If you pop in right now at said chat room, you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Stockton Larry and Squeaky and Roger in Oregon and Otto DeShot and Anatole, and of course, capably moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Steve! Good to see you, my friend. And, let's see. Got to turn off the sound effects again. That's an everyday thing now. I went out and ran errands. You're throbbing. Yeah, I know. Scott mentioned earlier that after turgid talk Tuesday, we somehow managed to engage in all of that conversation and never got around to, of course, that great film character, General Buck Turgidson, from Dr. Strangelove. So there's that. But no, I was out. I ran errands today. We got our first good winter storm warning in effect here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Coal Manchinistan. And more on him. Fuck, I hate saying that. But we got a winter storm warning starting tomorrow at noon and going through like 8 a.m. on Friday. They're predicting anywhere from 6 to 8 inches of snow, which, of course, and if it's a wet, gloppy snow and the way the temperatures are looking, it probably will be. That means the antiquated coal-fried, held together with baling wire, spit, and toilet paper, power grid of Appalachian Power will probably go out. And so I went out to get little bottle. It's propane season again, friends and neighbors. I got a dozen bottles, a dozen one-pound bottles of propane so that we can run from one room to the next and keep everything nice and warm if the power does go out. It's oddly enough, it's actually nice and toasty here in the, it's past toasty. It's downright uncomfortable here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. It's 77 and a half degrees Fahrenheit in here. And I don't want to, the fact of the matter is it could be our first naked radio of 2022. And my first post-op naked radio and, the first naked radio in the dead of winter. It is kind of oppressive in here, but I'll resist the urge. because even the mere thought is probably enough to put several time zones right off their dinner. One second. I'm going to get a little bit of relief. I had a big, heavy fleece hoodie on, and it is just too much. So that is immensely better. So anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our fifth day of the month subscribers. And what that means is thanks go to thanks go out to Kenda in Missouri. Thank you, Kenda. And thanks go out to Bernice, Batty Boop. Thank you, Bernice. And thank you to Kevin in Colorado Springs. And thank you to James in Illinois. Thank you to Roberto. Thanks all so much for being partial sponsors of the program and helping us keep all of this going. Where are we? Fundraising goal stands here at midweek at $450, 10 at 45, 45 people at 10, any combination thereof. And that would get us fully funded. And I'm trying to get all the damn bills paid. But that having been said, we've got a lot of stuff to get into this evening. And I don't know how much prayer meeting material there's going to be. Because of the volume of the volume of other stuff. Like I said, we got more Joe Manchin news. I knew there would be. I knew there would be simply because, well, he's the Queen of America. And he has nixed the idea. And you knew this was going to happen. He's nixed the idea of getting rid of the filibuster to protect Americans' single most sacred civic right, the right to vote. I'm sure at some point in time, if he hasn't already, we'll hear. We will be forced to listen to him opine as to how the Senate will be destroyed if we get rid of the filibuster, even though the filibuster is already gone, if for a number of issues. Supreme Court comes to mind. I mean, it's worth remembering that if the old 60 vote tradition for Supreme Court justices had been in place, we would not have Ann's boy Neil and Brat Kavanaugh, and we certainly wouldn't have Justice Handmaid Amy Covid Barrett fucking up the court more than it already is. That is. But no, he said he's got some modest changes that he could accept. And then there was the news conference from Merrick Garland today. I'm sure different people have different takes on it. Scott in San Diego says, my take, he's downplaying his AG butt off so as to spring things on him suddenly and catch him unawares. It was better than I expected, frankly. He didn't show up breathing fire and screaming at the top of his lungs and hollering, "Hang 'em high, boys." He didn't do that. And I guess some folks really wanted him to do that. I just want him to do his damn job. I want him to take this thing as seriously as it deserves to be taken, because frankly, there's some interesting polling data out there. More than half of the people surveyed, American citizens, say that they completely expect another insurrectionist attack on the capital of the United States, and they expect it to come soon. Yes, Shorty in L.A., this program is live. It is the fifth day of January, 2022. I'm very seldom reruns, but yeah, this program's live. Axios and Momentiv, an opinion company, took the poll. They released it today, being the eve of the anniversary of the attack, the treacherous, treasonous attack on constitutional governance in the United States and the seat of said constitutional governance. The poll was taken just in the last few days. And 57% of Americans say that it's probably going to happen again. And then there's that number that's always out there, the 37%, you know, that's your maggots. And they said they lost faith in American democracy. 49% say they still believe in American democracy. And if we go back to my Tinkerbell theory of politics, that's going to leave poor Tinkerbell coughing up blood on the stoop. 49%. So 49, 79, 70. 86, 14%, however, just watching, I guess. I don't know. But that's a disturbing number. And I would guess that of that more than 50%, some of those people who expect another attack on the Capitol, it kind of got to be folks that are on our side of the aisle, because, look, how long have I been saying it? Y'all, they're gonna do it again. No, Merrick Garland was not on fire, and he wasn't waving his hands about and raising them in the air and gesturing like a rhetorician of ancient Rome. One of the things he did say that was, I think, telling, and you can read a lot into it, is DOJ remains committed to holding all 1-6 perpetrators at any level accountable under the law, whether they were present that day or were otherwise criminally responsible for the assault on our democracy. We'll follow the facts wherever they lead. I understand that this may not be the answer some are looking for, but we will, and we must speak through our work. Anything else jeopardizes the viability of our investigations and the civil liberties of our citizens. Among other things, he brought up the Watergate investigation. And for people old enough to recall that, for the longest time, it seemed like nothing was happening. It's very easy for us, with 2020 hindsight viewing history, to sort of think that the Watergate investigation was just bang, 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 and then, you know, John Dean spills the beans. And then Nixon resigned and it was over. That was not the actual course of events. And I think he had to do this simply because, yeah, the anniversary. But the heat that he's been taking from federal judges is not insignificant. And so, well, I hope he will screw his courage to the sticking place and actually make some of that stuff happen. But the question remains, is anybody going to have the guts to indict an ex-president? And that ex-president is, meanwhile, barking and grunting about, you know, the pandemic that he was responsible for turning loose on the United States, sitting on the sidelines playing Derp Day morning quarterback. Full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. And in many senses, I think how he goes about this may speak to how we deal with the midterm elections in November. And there's going to be a lot of pissed off Democrats about now. You remember we had the language from Chuck Schumer's letter of a couple of days ago, saying that they were going to fight for voting rights, and they would make changes as were necessary. And he included two quotes from Senator Robert C. Byrd, who Joe Manchin cites almost constantly as his political mentor. Probably not true. But he had a meeting, Manchin did, with Chuck Schumer and some other Democratic members of the Senate. And after that meeting, he said, "I think the filibuster needs to stay in place any way, shape, or form." That's what hanging out with Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice will do for you. It kind of infects your word usage, and the next thing you know, you're using the same oft-repeated phrases as he does. "I think the filibuster needs to stay in place any way, shape, or form that we can do it." Really? Any way, shape, or form, Joe? I think there's some Dunning-Kruger at work here. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. And he does not know an ugly and toxic thing, he said there, in any way, shape, or form that we can preserve the filibuster. There's a different way. There are different words that actually more accurately project the meaning of his statement. "I think the Senate needs to remain as undemocratic as humanly possible, any way, shape, or form that we can do it." Because that's what saying you support the filibuster means. I mean, if you like the filibuster, you like it maybe because it's undemocratic. If you hate the filibuster, you can hate the filibuster because it's undemocratic. There is nothing democratic about the filibuster. There is nothing representative about the filibuster. It is minority rule. But again, he's playing that he's playing that fool's game where he thinks he's going to scrounge up seven Republicans who are going to vote alongside him. And frankly, I don't care if it's Lisa Murkowski or Zombie John McCain. It ain't going to happen because they, by God, do what they're told. And Moscow Mitch McConnell ain't going to let this happen, because the only way, and don't think for a moment that Republicans don't know this, the only way that they can continue to be a political force in the United States of America here in the third decade of the 21st century is if they are able to keep people whom they do not want to vote from voting. Demographically, the GOP is already a rump party of disaffected, cranky old white people. That's all it is. And any independents who are fellow travelers, them too. Manchin has said, you know, okay, we could get rid of the 60-vote hurdle to begin debate. That's a rule change, I would think, Republicans. They've been for that before. Well, goddamn, Joe! How many Republicans voted for Merrick Garland to elevate him onto the Circuit Court, U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals? It was 90-something. The Senate, the final Senate vote. How many Republicans even gave him a goddamn meeting when he was nominated to the Supreme Court? They had voted for him before. But, you know, that one in our White House nominated him to the Supreme Court. So, well, we can't have that because he would be exercising the powers of more than three-fifths of a president. The other thing that remains on the table that liberals and progressives have wanted for a very long time is actually making people filibuster. Don't just say, I'm going to filibuster, and that's the end of it. Make them do it. Make them stand there and read till they piss themselves. I mean, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, could set out to read the whole daggum Bible, this being prayer meeting Wednesday and all. But he knows these are losers. He's not a good faith negotiator. And meanwhile, it doesn't matter, even if he gets both, Manchin still wants there to be a 60-vote threshold to end debate, to invoke cloture. And because, oh God, the goddess of irony, oh Jesus, because he is firmly in the grasp of the goddess of irony, he actually had the nerve to say, I'm for three-fifths. He says he could support changing the rule from a 60-vote requirement to end the filibuster to three-fifths of the Senate present and voting. No shit. He's for a new three-fifths clause. I can't be the only person who noticed that, but I didn't see anybody in the for-profit media noting the irony of that today. Meanwhile, Chuck Schumer, apparently the soul of optimism, said, Manchin, of course, would prefer to deal with Republicans, but I believe he knows that we will not get any Republican cooperation. Well, congratulations for having your eyes wide open, Chuck Schumer. You know what time it is. You know that tigers don't change their stripes and neither do skunks. And I know 3/5 is 60%, but it's 3/5 of the senators present and voting, Steve. Not 3/5 of the total number of senators. So if you got a few people not there, then conceivably, you know, 3/5 of 90 is a smaller number than, say, 3/5 of 100. As you know, says Steve, this has nothing to do with the filibuster. It ain't about the cat. This is the issue du jour that Joe gets to use to occupy the stage alone. And again, let's come back to that common thread, that common theme of what is really driving this agenda. I may be the only person who does this sort of thing, to bring up this point in this context, please remember that Joe Manchin is the chair of Senate Natural Resources. Please remember that any climate change legislation is going to go through Senate Natural Resources as a result of the assignment of any bill by the parliamentarian. If it touches on a fossil fuel, a hydrocarbon, bang, Senate Natural Resources. And he needs the filibuster to make sure that his investments in coal remain viable. Period. End of sentence. Now, if Chuck Schumer presses the issue and brings voting rights to the floor, well, Joe says, I'm not going to say yes or no on how I vote because I don't know what votes are going to come to the floor. Bullshit. He doesn't have to say yes or no. We already know. He is who he is. And he's a man with very little knowledge of history. Certainly no grasp at all on irony. Three-fifths. Jesus. And he is doggedly, single-mindedly determined to protect his and his family's wealth at any and all costs. I mean, there's no other argument to be had. Is there? I mean, I don't see it. Do you? Let me know. And by the way, Scott says Watergate versus January 6th. You're right. Getting to some resolution of Watergate did not happen quickly at all. If you look up the poll numbers back then, most of the public didn't know about it, and a fair number didn't care. It really wasn't until after the Senate Watergate televised hearings, then the Saturday Night Massacre in October 73, did things really get going. The House Judiciary impeachment proceedings quickened things, as did the Supreme Court's ruling that Nixon had to release those final tapes, one of which included the smoking gun element of the case. I think one of the central differences between the two, Scott, is the fact that the Congress was not working with a potential shift. Imagine the Watergate hearings if the Republicans had taken over the House. Nixon might never need have resigned. But that monster is breathing down the neck of the Congress now. And if they don't get something done between now and January 1, 2023, I get so frustrated projecting that far out when the problems are present and imminent and in front of our faces. But that's the time frame they're working with. And I don't know, I don't know if anything will press Merrick Garland. I don't know if they will refer Nitwit Nero to the DOJ for potential prosecution for I know not what. But it's becoming more and more clear that the insurrection committee is looking hard at him. Representative Benny Thompson, chair of the committee, said, is talking to ABC's this week, if in the course of our review we find something that we think warrants review or recommendation to the DOJ, we will do it. We are not looking for it, but if we find it, we will absolutely make the criminal referral. Imagine that it has been a long, you don't have to imagine, it has been a long year, an entire year, since all of this happened. And the biggest sentence that anyone has gotten out of this is around 5 years. With some insurrectionists having been told to go and sin no more. And Nitwit Nero, of course, continues to slam the legitimacy of the operation, which is wholly legitimate. His pettifoggers, Nitwit Nero's, are still claiming before the Supreme Court that executive privilege protects documents that the House committee is trying to get that will flesh out the picture of the timeline of his action or inaction in real time to the insurrection. These two pettifoggers go by the names of Justin Clark and Jesse Binnall, B-I-N-N-A-L-L, Binnall. I guess they haven't. They didn't read up on how he stiffs people. So you know they're the latest lawyers to be suckered into representing him. But they're making the entirely specious argument that a president no longer in office has the right to claim executive privilege instead of the actual occupant of the Oval Office. Executive privilege follows the office, not the person who held it. If the White House sees fit, the Supreme Court would do well not to get in the way. But that federalism and that originalism with this gang of judicial thugs goes only so far. But it's clear that he's beginning to get a little bit nervous. And meanwhile, over on the right-wing side of things, they're still arguing, no kidding, that it wasn't really Republicans and maggots who did the deed. We go back to 2 days after the insurrection when a supporter of the treason, John Guandolo, said, we'll let him do his own saying. Yeah, this guy's one of those people that wants to wage global war against
from my perspective,
people who happen to be of the Islamic faith, and he's also done everything in his power to try to convince whatever brain dead people follow his burblings that it wasn't really MAGA there; it was all a big facade.
Perspective of where we are in this war, I'm amazed at the restraint patriots are still showing. Especially after an unarmed veteran of the Air Force of 14 years, a female, was shot in the face by a Capitol Police officer, non-uniformed Capitol Police officer. It's outrageous. I liken this to the Boston Massacre. This is the 2021 Boston Massacre. And I think in the history of what's happening right now, this is a turning point. This is a point when patriots realize the U.S. Senate, run by Republicans, has turned around to patriots and flipped them the bird again for the 50th time in a row. And they go on TV and stand in the well of the Senate and condemn patriots and tell us we're the problem. Not Mitch McConnell, not Kevin McCarthy, not Mike Pence. They don't see it. The arrogance and the hubris of our leaders is unbelievable. This is Venezuela. We are living in Venezuela right now. This is a banana republic, and the people either will or will not take back the republic. That's where we are.
Well, what happens, John? Where do we go?
Well, I think at this point, the leadership has demonstrated with a very small group of people as an exception, that they have no intention of defending the will of the people, defending we the people, defending the republic. I don't see any other way out than a real armed counter-revolution to this hostile revolution that's being taken place, primarily driven by the communists, but with the willful agents. I've talked about this on your show numerous times. The jihadis, the globalists, the communists would not be able to do anything if for the last 20 years the Republicans hadn't handed it to them over and over again. The last 4 years, a Republican Senate has opposed the president, has opposed the will of the people, and has opposed liberty. And we, some people, not me, not understand the threat, have said these Georgia Senate elections were the key to everything. That's garbage. Who gives a damn if two more Republicans are in the Senate or not? They haven't done a thing in 4 years, much less 20 years, to defend the will of the people. And this is where we are. So I don't know what the future holds, but it's going to be ugly to turn this around. And it is going to get much, much more ugly. And the fact that we conservatives, I'm getting emails and texts from conservatives telling me how appalled they are at what happened at the Capitol yesterday. Screw you. Screw you if you say that. Because what happened at the Capitol yesterday was incredibly restrained from my perspective. I was there. I watched it. I was in and amongst it. It is amazing to me that patriots haven't strung up these traitors already with the amount of evidence on the table of what they're doing. Mitch McConnell is an agent of the Chinese government and has been for years. And we're just sitting and taking it. And then he dares to stand in the Senate and lecture us about liberty and the Constitution. It's unbelievable. These people are so disconnected from the reality of what is coming their way.
Thanks to our friends at Right Wing Watch for preserving that bit of treasonous claptrap. Enemies of the Republic, he called them. Anybody who condemned the insurrection. And a couple of days later, after he gave that that blather, he said that people who condemned the insurrection, quote, should be swinging from a rope because they are traitors to the country. And then, of course, there's always Michelle batshit crazy Bachman. And she, of course, made no bones about who she was absolutely certain started the insurrection and caused it. Hint, not maggots. It was all maggots. So, let's see. There we go. Push the button.
January 6th. We're all told that that's the worst day that ever happened. These were the worst riots in America. It absolutely wasn't. It is my opinion that this was a theatrical event that the progressive left put on. The individuals who were the instigators who brought this about, these were agitators brought in to create this problem. I believe it was specifically done to rebrand Donald Trump as being an insurrectionist and a leader of a terrorist movement. I also believe that this was done to rebrand the Make America Great agenda, because remember, that was considered extremely popular by about 80 million Americans. So they wanted to rebrand Make America.
Wait. By about 80 million Americans. Now, what was the vote total in November of 2020? Just asking.
America Great as an evil thing. And those of us who supported Donald Trump and that agenda as evil and terrorists, that's all a lie. As your listeners have seen, in the last 5 months, you wouldn't even know that Donald J. Trump was ever the president. You wouldn't even know that those 4 years of his presidency existed. George Orwell wrote a book, 1984. Mm-hmm. He talked about a concept called the memory hole. If the government in charge didn't want you to remember someone, they put them in the memory hole. Donald J. Trump has been put in a memory hole. Make America Great Again has been put in a memory hole.
But she wasn't done. She had details. Of course she did. She knew exactly how they accomplished that.
In the days leading up to January 6th, we were here praying, walking up and down in the city, walking in the mall, walking around this United States Capitol building. On the morning of January 6th, when all the events were about to transpire, it was extremely cold that day. It was January. We were out here. If you look right behind my shoulder, there's an open area of cement. This is where we were, right here. We had a platform set up. We had a permit. We had a worship band, and we had a number of Christians that were here. I have to tell you, on January 5th and January 6th, Washington, D.C. was one of the happiest places I'd ever been in. So many people were coming in support of President Trump. So many believers were here. People were witnessing on street corner after street corner. They're witnessing to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're holding up banners proclaiming the name of Jesus. They're holding up banners in support of President Trump. Why?
Well, because they can't tell, maggots can't tell the difference between Jesus H. Christ and Donald J. Trump. Right?
Supporting him because President Trump was standing for biblical values. And that's why so many believers were here to support him, because he was supporting biblical values.
Yeah. I mean, if you include Lot and his daughters, I guess he did. I mean, God. our pal Joy in Ann Arbor posted a meme the other day, and I laughed merrily. It's a picture of, it's a picture of, or a representation, I guess, of Nitwit Nero in the Oval Office hugging Jesus H. Christ. The caption reads, "It was about an hour later that Jesus realized that his wallet was missing." I think I mentioned that. Oh, God, I love that so much. Wait a minute. I think Donald Trump boosted my wallet.
So it was really, I would say, more akin to a family reunion. It was happiness. People weren't angry. They weren't swearing. They weren't planning an insurrection. They were so happy. And they were in prayer,
happy,
believing
happy
that the election results would be the true election results, and only would be certified based upon what truly happened in that election outcome. So people of faith were here by faith, asking God through faith for his true election results. That's the real story of January 6th. Well, we didn't see normal people breaking in. Some people reported that they saw five buses drive up to this building, and people got out of those buses wearing all black clothing. They came up. We don't know who those people were, but they came up, and it was clear that some people, whether they were the Capitol Police or dressed to look like Capitol Police, they physically took these bicycle-looking barriers. They opened them. The people who look like Capitol Police, they opened the barriers, and they were going like this to the crowd, "Come in," to say to the crowd, "You can come in." There were some bad actors who had climbed up over here and on the other side, and they actually were pounding on the glass. Now, a normal person.
Now, what's hilarious is to actually watch the video of the insurrection. I think Vice and HBO have both done an amazing job documenting it. Yeah, but just tuning in on the regular for-profit media news, those are not happy, worshipful Christians. That is an angry mob bent on homicide, bent on murder. Did the happy Christians bring the gallows? Batshit crazy. Did the happy Christians run around singing, "We'll hang Mike Pence from the sour apple tree. We'll hang Mike Pence from the sour apple tree. We'll hang Mike Pence from the sour apple tree, and he won't be a problem no more." Was that those happy Christians, Missy? Yeah. And eventually they would get around to claiming false flag. Because they can't deal with reality. I know. Jeremy in Vermont says, God, I dislike this woman. Hey, how about the so-called Christians that were testifying to Jesus' glory while wearing Camp Auschwitz shirts and shirts that had the abbreviation OMWE? 1 million wasn't enough. Probably because they couldn't afford to have that many hatefully worded, hateful words plastered on their silly little T-shirts. Yeah, I know. And then there's a guy named Stu Peters. Stupiders. No, really. Thank you, Goddess of Irony. Stu Peters has been pushing the citizen's arrest trope for, you know, weeks now. You might recall that Ahmaud Arbery was murdered, and that the defense that was offered was that his murderers were trying to effectuate a citizen's arrest of him. Well, Stupiders says that we should do that with elected officials over COVID restrictions, because all these things dovetail. COVID dovetails with the insurrection. The insurrection dovetails with the violence at school board meetings and the lot. I think it's important that we know what they're saying.
There's a lot of people here that we're about to arm with this information, and don't let me get into the parts of the Constitution about how we're just going to come and arrest these people. So they have the opportunity to repent and to back away from the conspiracy, to get out of the criminal conspiracy to smother our rights, and then they can save themselves. But we're turning this up to full tilt now. For anybody who's saying, oh, that's never going to work, get out of here. Beat it, nerd. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. And for everybody that's always been saying all along, nothing's ever going to happen. No, we're going to make it happen. Because the people's will is the law. Period.
Not really.
So I hope that you soldiers are ready to go to battle. We have been armed with information. We have put a team together of people. Actually, God has put a team of people together that have the contact information, the technology, the know-how, the knowledge, the wherewithal, and the platforms to make this happen on a huge scale. On a huge scale. I hope you're...
Now, Stupiders will not... It will not be there, when the real dirty work gets going. Stupiders is engaging here in some stochastic terrorism, trying to get people worked up enough to do his bidding for him while he sits comfortably at home. It's a variation on the "come on, let's you and him fight" notion. Yeah, it was 6 MWE, 6 million weren't enough. You're right, Flavio. And as Matt points out, in San Francisco, happy Christians. Seems wherever these happy Christians show up, people end up dead. Going forward, I'll be skipping the happy Christian gatherings. I think that's probably a very good thing for your own personal safety and well-being, Matt. Wise you are. And the breakout on Biden versus Nitwit Nero. Yeah, it was 81 million Biden, 74 million Nitwit Nero. So when Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman says there are 80 million people who supported Merkel first and MAGA, yeah, I guess 6 million, 7 million didn't show up?
You're ready, and I hope you're excited. If we don't want dominion, then we take dominion away. We, the people. if we don't like a certain set of laws or legislation, then we alter it or dissolve it. If we don't like a certain way that government is set up, then we alter it or abolish it.
Hmm. How would you go about abolishing the Constitution of the United States? I mean, altering, I understand. There's an amendment process. You know, 2/3 of the House, 2/3 of the Congress, then 2/3 of the states, and boom. Constitutional amendment. Or the Article 5 Convention of the States, which is one of the most horrible ideas. Even James Madison didn't want it, but he put it in there to satisfy the assholes who I guess even then were contemplating treason and insurrection in their hearts. And by the way, the January 6th committee has politely invited that life support system for a haircut, Sean Hannity job, to come and have a chat with them, referring to him as a sort of a quasi-advisor to Nitwit Nero. That should be an interest. Well, he won't show. He won't show. He's a chicken shit. I mean, really. Okay, so within this entire tableau, we have this. You might recall a story from a month or so back, maybe more, where a Maryland man murdered his brother and I think his mother and stole a car and headed for, and he did so because his brother was a pharmacist and he accused his brother of murdering people by dispensing the vaccine. Well, that case in Maryland was not a one-off. Authorities in California have arrested an individual. They arrested him because he attacked workers at a vaccine clinic, barking and grunting and hooting that they were murderers, and said that they were causing the pandemic. It happened, of course, at a place called Families Together. And Families Together is an organization in California's answer to Mississippi, Orange County. It all happened on December the 30th at the mobile clinic in Tustin, California. One worker sustained serious injuries and was sent to the hospital in an ambulance. They are both expected to make a full recovery within a few days. In their press release, the Families Together said, "We are thankful for our team's bravery, strength, and resilience. Despite the violent nature of the assault, Families Together kept offering vaccines and boosters to patients that day, and the team was fully back at work the following week." Dude in question was Thomas Apollo, age 43. Without his mask on, he walked into the clinic, told the workers there that they were murderers who were making people sick, and then he started punching members of staff. It took multiple people to pry him away from a medical assistant that he was beating, and it took seven cops 15 minutes to restrain Thomas Apollo. Thomas Apollo is from Poway, P-O-W-A-Y, California. He was booked on suspicion of battery and resisting arrest. Then, of course, he was let out on bail. So that he can go and do it again. The Orange County District Attorney's Office has to decide whether they will pursue any criminal charges against him. That decision as yet has not been made.
bets. Yeah. Well, at least he didn't manage to kill anybody. And then this. Tuesday afternoon and evening, 7 HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities, got bomb threats. Every campus was forced to lock down or evacuate. Law enforcement was notified. Eventually, they sent out the all clear to the students and the staff and the broader community. The threats were sent to Florida Memorial University, North Carolina Central University, Prairie View A&M University, University of Arkansas Pine Bluff, Florida Memorial University, Norfolk State University, and Xavier University of Louisiana. No bombs were found, mercifully. Gee, I wonder who would do something like that. I bet I know how they vote. Issuing a statement, Florida Memorial University said, "We take matters of this nature seriously. The safety of our students, faculty, staff, and visitors is the university's main priority. Campus security will continue to work with all involved agencies as the investigation remains ongoing." So, I mean, was that a coincidence that they all happened to be HBCUs? I think not. I don't see how you can make that argument. Not that anyone is. But you know what's interesting? In this ABC News story, and it's not a very long story, but the word racism doesn't appear even once. It's almost as if ABC News doesn't see that as a right. And whoever wrote it up didn't call any. Apparently, didn't ask. Does this strike you as being racially motivated? How do you send out bomb threats to 7 HBCUs and not think that it was racially motivated? And note, of course, you know, again, Louisiana, Florida, Arkansas, Virginia. Kind of looks like they're all in Confederate country, don't it? Imagine having a child studying at one of those universities and hearing that news. Now, let's see. By the way, we have talked, but we are at the, Phil Robstered the first hour of the program away now. We are still at $450 in fundraising. It would be great if we could knock that down some. Any help is good help. Just checking the email real quick. We've talked a lot about, and I think the statement was made in the program yesterday. We have a Nazi problem in this country. We have it. We have a white nationalist, white supremacist, fascist problem in law enforcement. We have it in every branch of the military. USA Today had a story today about efforts made to get rid of white supremacists in the ranks of the military. You remember back when we were so eager to attack the innocent people of Iraq who never did us any harm? Do you remember that news story that the Bush Pentagon, the W Pentagon, had quietly relaxed the rules, the recruiting rules, so that people with violent crime convictions and the like could actually get into the military because we entered that war sort of stupidly and not particularly well prepared. Well, those things have consequences over time. And the USA Today story by Will Carlos says that for decades, the U.S. Navy and Marine Corps have quietly kicked out some of the worst white supremacists in their ranks, offering them administrative discharges that leave no public record of their hateful activity. Decades. USA Today filed a public records request under through American Oversight, a government advocacy group, Open Government. There were 13 major investigations into white supremacist activity in the Navy and Marine Corps over the course of the last two decades, and there's a pattern that emerges where the brass chose to use dismissal in such a way that would not necessitate A court-martial, or B, the public knowing a damned thing about it. It was December 10th, 2000, when three white dudes left a neo-Nazi rally in Florida and headed to downtown Jacksonville. They wanted to find somebody who was black to beat the hell out of. Well, they found someone, John Joseph Newsom. They beat him with their fists and their boots and a broken bottle. They were shouting, "Kill the..." And after they were done with him, they went looking to beat somebody else up. They were eventually charged with aggravated battery causing great bodily harm. They were also charged with a hate crime. They all pleaded guilty to felonies, and they got jail time in Duval County, Florida. Well, two of them then had to deal with another investigation because they were enlisted members of the Navy serving at nearby bases in the Jacksonville area. And the Navy never charged them. They faced no disciplinary action that would have resulted in a dishonorable discharge. They just lost their jobs. How about that? No wonder we've got a fascism problem and a white supremacy problem. There were a group of Marines who called themselves the RRR. And they branded themselves with lighters, and their purpose was to get into fights, brawls, with Marines who weren't white. And then this, a female sailor, who started one of the earliest online white supremacist message boards, bragging about her top secret security clearance, and wrote about Hitler and the Jews, and of course, black folks. Not one of the 13 investigations resulted in a court-martial. They instead got a general discharge under honorable conditions as an administrative discharge. Wow. Kind of disturbing, don't you think? There were the 13 cases that USA Today saw, but there were 10 other cases that weren't released because they are still under review. one would think that that means that they are of more recent vintage than, say, 2000. And one of the guys who got busted in the Jacksonville attack, well, 2 years after the Navy told him to go and sin no more, he attacked a synagogue full of worshipers. He threw bricks etched with swastikas through the windows of the temple. At least on the civilian side, he spent over 10 years in the stir. Then he got out in 2018, and he was charged with assaulting and stabbing another neo-Nazi. He wears a tattoo on his face that says white power. And by the way, this, buried way, 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 way down in the USA Today story, the military doesn't track how many people are removed for extremist activity. But there are signs that incidents of white supremacy are rising among troops. You think? A military survey of active duty personnel showed that a third of active duty military members noted that they had seen white supremacist or ideologically driven racism while on duty. That was 2019. The Military Times did the survey. And if you isolate it to non-white members of the military, that percentage goes considerably higher. From 2018, where it was 22%, it jumped to 36% in 2019. It's hard not to read that story and see a through line that runs to say the generals who are warning that y'all, they're going to do it again, that in 22 or 24, there could very easily be a military coup. And these are not people who panic easily. But they are, in fact, worried. Paul Eaton, former two-star U.S. Army Major General, interviewed by NPR, said he's worried that come 2024, some members of the military wouldn't understand who the duly elected president is. If that is not a clear-cut understanding, that can infect the rank and file at any level in the U.S. military. If you have that kind of confusion around the 2020 election, it's not outlandish to consider that you're going to have a little bit of confusion in 24, and that confusion could slip into the ranks of the U.S. military. Now factor in the fact that there is a significant neo-Nazi, fascist, white supremacist, racist element in the military, and you begin to see what a toxic stew this really, really is. In the interview with NPR, they asked him what worried him more, people who might sympathize with anti-democratic views or officers who would give their units orders that would be unconstitutional. And retired General Eaton said, it could be a little bit of both of the above because we saw it in 2020. We are in more trouble than we know. And we would do it. At least we can know about it and be cognizant of it. But do you find that chilling? Because I find it chilling. And by the way, if there's something you want to talk about, jump right into the program. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. Ugh. I know, I make that noise every time. One of these days I got to do something about it, don't I? And of course, the Stress Line, named after Bill Mr. Stress Miller. By the way, who was born on January the 1st, the first baby born in Cleveland, Ohio in 1940, was it, Brother Deacon Asa, was it 44? But gone but not forgotten, Mr. Stress. Stress line is 844-843-4676. I'd love to have your thoughts on some of these things. And don't be shy. Jeremy, subject line, military. Didn't the military put out a statement a few weeks back that any member could join one of these extremist groups, Proud Boys, 1%ers, 3%ers, KKK, as long as they didn't pertain to things they did in things they did as a group and didn't? I don't think I saw that one because I would have had a connection. But it's hard not to loop this back to the stupid ruling by the stupid conservative judge in Texas who said that the Navy didn't have the right to force people to get vaccines. January 1st, 1943, Mr. Stress. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. What do you think? Am I making too much of this? Or is this as disturbing as it appears on its face to be? Oh, and by the way, since we've been talking, I didn't forget him. I don't know that I knew about him. Flavio said you forgot about General Steve Anderson. Via a broadcast at CBS Sunday Morning, Steve Anderson said January 6th was part of a domestic cancer threatening American democracy. And he said, 43 years ago, I swore an oath to protect the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Back then, who could have imagined the domestic attack on our democracy a year ago this week? I've become increasingly concerned that our military has become politicized and infected by the acrimony that plagues our society today. Gee, you think? Wonder how that happened. Well, here's one potential way that it happened. You know, back before he transitioned to his eternity with the wrong end of a pineapple, America's truth detector, the man with talent on loan from God, my friends, with half my brain tied behind my back for the listeners in Rio Linda. He was picked up and carried, and the taxpayers picked up the tab, by Armed Forces Radio. So in a time when no member of the military could get a centrist or God knows, a left-wing perspective or progressive or liberal perspective on Armed Forces Radio, by God, there was Rush. Perspective is everything. And there was Rush bawling into the ether, screaming his anti-American filth, anti-democracy filth, proto-fascist filth. And it went on and on and on. Steven Anderson said, all this nonsense may confuse our troops on the difference between allegiance to a leader and allegiance to our Constitution. Such confusion could set conditions for another coup attempt, a thought that chills me to the bone. Brigadier General Steve Anderson said, all insurrectionists must be held accountable, to include the politicians that supported the Capitol assault. We need to educate our service members on the Constitution and the integrity and legitimacy of our election system. You know, they did a stand down in the last year. I think it lasted maybe a day, and virtually nothing came of it. I don't know if General Anderson knew about the business with the, no, because the story's brand new. The 13 quiet dismissals of white supremacists from the Navy and the Marines. Brigadier General Anderson says the Pentagon must identify emerging threats and war game against future domestic terrorist acts. That's going to be a little tough, thanks to Posse Comitatus. He did say we need policy that prevents troops from joining hate groups. Military service is a profound privilege, and we cannot allow extremists to contaminate unit morale and cohesion. On December 29th, just a few days ago, the Associated Press had a story. The headline, Decades of Pentagon Efforts Fail to Stamp Out Bias and Extremism in Military, AP Investigation Finds. And it begins by referencing the one-day stand-down that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin signed to deal with extremism in the ranks. Well, new rules were issued in the final weeks of December to deal with extremism. They said it had touched on social media usage. And the military said that the Pentagon said that liking and reposting white nationalist and extremist content could result in disciplinary action. Department of Defense updated its screening of recruits and is looking to figure out a way to keep retiring troops from being sucked in to extremist organizations. Unfortunately, the Associated Press found that racism and extremism are a bigger and ongoing problem that remains inside the military. Among other things, the Government Accountability Office has found that black and Hispanic service members are disproportionately investigated and court-martialed. Black Marines, according to the Naval Postgraduate School, are convicted and punished at courts-martial rates five times higher than other races across the Marine Corps. My God. Remember, those 13 white supremacist cases, there was no court-martial. The UCMJ and the military judicial system have no category whatsoever for crimes that are motivated by hate or bias. There's no hate crime category in the Naval Criminal Investigative Service or the Army Criminal Investigative Division. This is trouble, to put it lightly. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, yes, General Stephen Anderson, not to be confused with the hate preacher from Faithful Word Baptist Church, Brother Pastor Steve Anderson, who, by the way, is officially banned from 73 countries now, which covers the entire English-speaking world, plus a whole bunch of others who don't even speak English. Brother Deacon's here to serve. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Among other things, the newly signed Defense Authorization Act directs the Secretary of Defense to report back within 180 days as to whether Congress needs to pass new statutory language to address hate and bias in the ranks. So that's 6 months. And then if he says yes, however long it takes to draft the legislation. And then, of course, maybe the House passes it. It will not be passed if there is a Republican House majority, because that's their base, white supremacists, white nationalists, neo-Nazis. You remember way back in October of 2016 when the man who smells like old hot, looks like the man who looks like old hot dog water smells, Steve Bannon, in conversation with Milo Yiannopoulos, said that a majority of the Republican base was white nationalist. They weren't lying. They weren't kidding. They know their own, and it hasn't changed. Jesus, January 6th, if it taught us nothing else, January 6th, 2021, taught us that it is that whatever was bad had gotten worse. And so, with the anniversary upon us, enter a dude named Greg Kelly over at Newsmuck, who went on air to attack the Capitol police officers who have said that after January 6, 2021, they have PTSD. He specifically attacked Michael Fanone and Harry Dunn. He attacked the descriptions of how the violence still affects them, this ass jacket, Greg Kelly, said, when did it become fashionable for men to talk like this, to exaggerate things like this? It was a riot. Somehow they think it was beneath them somehow. It's a tough job. People get hurt. I don't know. I just find these guys despicable, quite frankly. And then he said, I love cops. It takes a special type of person to join the police force or join the military, but that doesn't mean you can just rest on your laurels. Every day you've got to produce, and January 6th was a law enforcement failure. And you know what? The check is going to keep clearing for Greg Kelly. Not only are they not ashamed of what he said at Newsmuck, they tweeted it. They're proud of it. Greg Kelly goes off on the Capitol officers who've cried trauma, collected fake news paychecks, and invalidated other violence against cops since January 6, 2021. And we wonder why we're in the mess we're in. Well, here's your sign, as the saying goes. Let's run over to the stress line and check in with Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey. So I'm reading on military.com that, in fact, they do not bar troops from joining hate groups. They are trying to put in new policies that say you cannot share their propaganda and that you cannot be seen actively participating in their demonstrations and their acting out. But you can willingly be a member of a hate group and be in the military, and there isn't a goddamn thing they can do to you. You can join after you become a military person. There's not a goddamn thing they can do to you. It's your right.
Jesus.
And it shouldn't come as any shock. We know they've infiltrated the military. We know they're in the police. And I mean, I don't know. And these same people would come at you waving a Bible, carrying the flag, screaming, you know, Jesus Almighty, too. It's the same thing as the people who stormed the Capitol. Same thing.
So, I mean, Jeremy, have you gotten any, given any thoughts to it? I mean, would it be some sort of constitution? I mean, there are so many you give up when you sign on and take the oath, you give up a lot of rights under the UCMJ.
Yeah, you can't actively really speak out against the president while in uniform or out when you're in the military. That's a no-no because it's commander in chief. You know, I have friends who've been in private conversations, they said stuff, but if they were caught doing it, that could actively get them court-martialed.
Because that would be insubordinate.
But they're free, right, but they're free to join hate groups, and that's insubordination, even though those...
And let's be clear, when we say hate groups, what, they could join the Klan!
We're talking about the Klan. We're not talking about your local Bible clubs. We're talking about the Klan, the Proud Boys, the 1%ers, the 3%ers, the Aryan Nation. We're talking about all the worst groups you can think of as hate groups.
The Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff.
Yeah, we're talking about the shittiest groups mankind's ever invented. That's what you can join under the military rights, as long as you don't actively participate in their actions.
They can
hold their views and still be in the military.
They could join the American Nazi Party, I guess.
Yeah, no, they definitely could.
And so I guess that's why that's what this 180-day requirement for the Secretary of Defense is about. But again, if you're relying on Congress to get it done, especially if there's a Republican Congress. Or, you know, in a world that has Joe Manchin in it, I mean, Jeremy, am I wrong?
No, you're not, because I heard people with just as of like Monday, all happy about, oh, we're going to get voting rights passed. Joe Manchin's on board. I said, you fucking moron. I said he's going to string him on and kneecap him when he gets a chance. He did it. He said just enough to make him think there's wiggle room, and now he's saying, oh, no, we can't do this. I'm surprised he didn't wait till another holiday to do it, right before, I don't know, Easter, and say, oh, no, we can't do this. Sorry, it's, you know, this affects the Constitution. We can't do this. You're not wrong. I mean, until we have enough senators to make those two nullified and have no voice or go back into the holes they came from, they'll keep doing this. Because it's securing their future in other jobs once they've left the Senate or are elected out, which Joe never will. I hear people that say, oh, he'll be voted out. No, he won't. You're right. He'll stay in because of who he is and who he represents. Even though he claims he's a Democrat, he'll stay in because of the coal companies. He'll always probably be there as long as he wants.
Jesus. I mean, I find it scary because if this is the case, and the military ranks are as filled with this filth as I think they are, and this data tends to indicate, then these generals talking about potential problems in 24 aren't wrong.
I think it falls on the same lines that we're going through right now. I think it's probably a third of the military, or 30% of them, are shitheads. Literally.
Because it's a reflection of the overall population of the country. It's just an extrapolation.
Right. So
it's an extrapolation.
Citizenship,
yeah.
Right. So as it goes to citizenship, goes the military, goes the police force, goes the fire department in some cases, probably even. They're all a small reflection of our country's status. So even though they may not be, you know, out there with Trump patches on their uniforms, because that would be against the UCMJ, they're out there probably, you know, screaming to their friends, oh, yeah, he won. It was a biased election. We killed this person, kill that person. And 6 million wasn't enough, and we're in Camp Auschwitz because Trump didn't win again.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about something earlier today because these little thoughts just pop into my mind. If my recollection of history is correct, that little genocidal maniac with the Charlie Chaplin mustache wrote his tome while serving time. You know, Mein Kampf translates as my struggle.
Yep.
My struggle. And it just made me wonder, who among the insurrectionists is probably working on something like that even as we speak?
It's hard to say because I was over the break, I was listening to the new NBC podcast about Ashley Babbitt, whatever her name is, the one that was shot going through the window in the Capitol.
Yeah.
And at first, the family thought, oh, you know, she was the blah, blah, blah. And in the end, they're almost on her side saying she's innocent. She didn't deserve this. Even though at the same point, they're saying she was wrong. So I don't know what that served other than to say, hey, we don't know who killed her. It wasn't Ashley Babbitt. It was the one who died on the Capitol steps, trampled. Sorry, it was Ashley Babbitt. She wasn't the one that was shot, was she? The one who died and was trampled going up the steps. But the podcast, coming from MSNBC, kind of tried to hint that the police beat her to death.
Jesus.
And that was from a reliable news source, supposedly. I mean, it was kind of like when I saw that headline a couple of weeks ago. I know I saw it about the military allowing them in. And I at first said could not. And did a double click. Of course it says could not. No, it says you can join, you just can't participate. I'm like, holy shit, they're saying that out loud now in the news.
I And I just wonder if...
This country's in more trouble than we know it is, or than people want to actively think it is. And I've heard people in different places say, you know, oh, don't mind these people. They're all background noise. They're a distraction. They're not. They're clear and present, and they want to be known, and they're going to make themselves known.
And one wonders how much will there is to do. I mean, if you that story out of USA Today, those 13 cases from the Navy and Marines, it kind of indicates there isn't a will to deal with white supremacists. I mean, what kind of motivation do you think the brass had in that? You know, we don't want to make a big noise about this because it might look bad. Or it might make other members of the military, emboldened? Seems like the kid gloves treatment would be what emboldens.
I think, quite frankly, it's because they've trained this, you know, this segment, 30% of the military. And that comes from all different branches, Navy, Air Force. I mean, we've got pilots that are white supremacists. I guarantee you, we've got a few Navy SEALs that are white supremacists. Hell, one stormed the Capitol, a former one, on January 6th. So we've got some real dangerous people who've been given real tactical training who avows these views and will participate and hold them up. And I tell people all the time, I live in little old Vermont. I mean, it's a small state next to Rhode Island. We have, 600,000-700,000 people at best. And there's a part of town that I could throw a rock at from this hill I'm on right now. And any given week, if you walk through, it's planted with KKK paraphernalia. Flags get burned. People get threatening notices. It's a small little town. I mean, and then you throw in something like the pandemic, and last week we had 1,000 cases in one day.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know how tiny, West Virginia is. Our numbers are a hot mess. We got 1,800 new cases as of today. 11 more dead people.
And I want to put this out there, too, so there's people are actually hearing this. But I also hear a lot of people talk about the pandemic and the happy talk. Oh, Omicron, not as bad. It's going away. It might be the end of it. It's not as bad. And they always leave out the two key words or a few key words. If you have a vaccine.
Right.
If you don't have the vaccine, you're just as fucked with Omicron as you were with Delta. There's no difference.
Well,
but they
keep
leaving that part out because of the happy talk.
There's other sobering news, Jeremy. For instance, apparently two out of the three monoclonal antibody treatments for active coronavirus don't work with Omicron. And now there's something being bandied about, new word. They're calling it flu-rona. Co-infections of coronavirus and the flu. Because Israel has announced that two young pregnant women tested positive for both the coronavirus and the flu at the same time. Because in the background, people have been, scientists, public health experts, have been quietly worrying themselves sick over what they're referring to as the potential for a twindemic. Once again, get your goddamn flu shot. Not you, but yeah.
I know. I have a close personal friend who went on vacation in a state that rhymes with Florida. And came back, and I talked to him when he first got back, and he said, well, it happened. I have corona. My wife, one of my kids has it. They're vaccinated. They're not fully vaccinated. And his reasoning was he didn't know it was in the third shot.
You know what's in the third shot? Not getting the Rona.
The shot.
Not getting, or
less chance of getting it, anyway. Luckily for him, so far, his whole family, it's just been a pretty bad cold in terms of symptoms and tiredness, not anything else. And that's probably thanks to the vaccine.
And apparently, flu-rona has been going around. There's a case from February 2020, a guy entering a New York City hospital. At that point in time, there were no reported cases of the coronavirus, tested positive for flu. Then later they tested for coronavirus, and guess what? He and three of his family members, both. Teenager in Houston had flu rona. And on top of it all, there's the creepy-ass news coming out of Israel that because that area is in one of the major migratory patterns for birds, they are the scientists there, and it's gone all the way to the Israeli National Security Council. They're so disturbed. Avian flu is running through the wild bird population, and it tends to be just plain old-fashioned fucking fatal when humans get it. And humans can get it.
Well, as long as we pray to Jesus, we'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm guessing maybe that's not the case. I mean, if the Herman Cain Awards subreddit is to be believed.
I mean, I'm not alone. But as of now, I mean, back when this first started, I said, like a lot of people did, we're all going to know at least one person that died of this. I personally know six from Vermont that have died of it. One was fairly close, and other from my past, people that I knew as a kid at different schools as secretaries, but they all died of it. And I hear people say, oh, did they die of it or because of it? There's no difference. If you have it, it kills you because it caused your diabetes to flare up and other things happen. It's what got you. It's just a side effect of it. But they try to separate the two and say, well, you didn't die of it. You died because of it. They're trying to lessen the effects of it is what they're doing. And that's part of the problem in this country, too, is people are trying to separate it from other conditions and say, oh, no, it's really because you were overweight while you died. That's part of it. But you wouldn't have died just from being overweight if you hadn't had coronavirus. And that's disturbing, too.
And this is so easy to, it seems like it's easy to get your head around, but my God, there's millions of Americans who prove that it's not.
I mean, I have a close personal friend who swore up and down that her husband's brother, you know, died in the hospital city coronavirus, but he never tested positive or he didn't have it. They just said it, you know, because they're getting money for saying he had it. Wasn't because he had it.
Jesus.
So I said everything I have to say.
Let me ask you, is that winter storm that's going to hit us, is it going to swing on up the rest of the way and give you some snowmobiling?
Our trails are still closed right now. I'm really hoping it does, but we're so stuck in this pattern of cold, warm, cold, warm, extreme warm, cold. I wasn't on the trails by this time last year. And I've told a couple people in different circles that I kind of got a laugh because I saw someone make a post on one of my Facebook groups dedicated to snowmobiling. And, oh, it's the worst winter ever. It was January 10th or like January 1st or something. He said that. I'm like, for God's sakes, folks, winter just started 10 days ago. We're just getting into this. It's not the worst winter yet. Not even possible. But it says 80% chance we'll get some snow. Is it going to be 2 feet, like some places, no. Probably 5, 6, 7 inches, maybe, if we're lucky.
Well, when we get when we get predicted for 6 to 8 inches, you know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But looking at the forecast for the next week, we're going down into the low double digits, and that's going to suck.
Yeah, Tuesday we're supposed to be like 5 and a low of -1. We're already -6 here. Monday night? No, was the last night? No, it was Monday night. We were here. It was -6 when I got home at 4 in the morning. So we're heading to that fun time of year. I find ways to enjoy it, but it's not for everybody. I'll give you that.
No, I mean, some people like it better than others. I just like warm weather.
That's why you live south of me.
But not far enough south, trust me.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, I gotta go.
All right, take care, Jeremy. Have a good evening, my friend. Bye now. That's our buddy Jeremy up in Vermont. Let's keep things rolling and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, am I on?
That's entirely up to you.
Okay, because I had the phone in my pocket and I couldn't remember whether I muted myself. So I guess I'm on.
The fact that you're talking to me and I'm talking back kind of, it's a clue.
Well, yeah, there's that. I don't normally call 2 days in a row.
It's okay.
I did want to pass this along to you and to the Horn family. Well, first of all, Jeremy talking about 5-degree weather and below something the next night. Jesus. When I was a little kid and I would visit grandmothers and aunts and uncles and people, I always used to notice how elderly people's homes in the winter were hotter than the hinges on the gates of hell, okay? And as I've gotten older, and I'm actually, you know, due to some physical things, more sensitive to high and low ranges, heat and cold-wise, I'm not making fun so much, Robin. I try to stay as toasty as I possibly can, you know? And so no scoffing and fun making for me. Crank up that fucking heater and let's bang on the pipes, get some goddamn heat on. But that's not why I called. That's not
right.
Why I called. I sent you an email earlier about an episode of Frontline that was re-aired last night on PBS.
Yes.
And I saw it when it first ran, and then I saw it was on the schedule and watched it last night. It's an expanded episode. It runs about 90 minutes. Let me give you the particulars on this. It's a co-production of the Frontline people at PBS or at WGBH in Boston. The Frontline team combined forces with ProPublica and something called the Berkeley Journalism's Investigative Reporting Group, and it's called American Insurrection. And I urge you and all of the Horn people to go online and put in PBS Frontline American Insurrection and get the link to watch it on your computer or on your TV or whatever, and watch that. Because what it does, it goes back to Charlottesville and builds upon that, trying to find out who were the movers and shakers in the January 6th episode a year ago. And you mentioned some of them earlier, the Boogaloo Boys, the Proud Boys, and the rest of them, that crew, some of them, many of them probably ex-military, all of them nationalists and or white supremacists. It's called American Insurrection Frontline PBS. If you do nothing else in the next 24 hours, Warren family, get that link and watch that fucker, because it lays out exactly. And see, what astounds me, Robin, is January 6th was 6 days into January last year, right?
Yes.
And by mid-April, the Frontline people, along with their partners, had pulled this 90-minute documentary together. So what's wrong with Congress? What's wrong with a lot of these clowns in the House and Senate? If a journalism company can pull together all the myriad threads...
Well, a journalism outfit, Scott, is not beholden to the rules, the Byzantine rules of something like a, you know, Congress.
And I'm not a violent person, you know this, but all of these deniers, the woman from Minnesota whose voice you played earlier, who used to be in the Congress, what is her name?
Oh, she, Michelle Batchett, Crazy Bachman?
Crazy Michelle, Crazy Eyes Michelle, and Jim Jacket Off Jordan, and all the rest of this crew. You remember the movie Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I don't know a trans girl who isn't.
Okay.
Well, because, you know, killer trans.
Do you remember that rig that Hannibal Lecter was all trussed up in for
sure.
his transportation needs? Take each and every one of these people and as gently as possible, get them into one of these rigs, pull down the big screen TV, and show them American Insurrection, Frontline PBS.
Or you could do the Clockwork Orange thing with Alex's rehabilitation, where they got the little things and they just, you know, pinned his eyes open, and every now and then they put some eye drops in to keep him from drying out. You got to watch.
Precisely. I'm telling you, people, watch this. You know, do what I tell you. Google it. Get the link. Put it on your device and spend 90 minutes of your time. You will be horrified by these people and what played out a year ago, but you will be edified by the fact that you know who the enemy is, you know who we're up against. And even though I had seen it, it still hit me in the solar plexus rewatching it last night. And happened on the Capitol complex, the Capitol steps, and in the fucking building, a Confederate flag being run through the rotunda of the United States Capitol building. Hell, the fucking rebels during the Civil War didn't get to do that.
No, no.
I mean, is it me, or is there anything wrong with this picture? I'm sure I'm seeing clearly, and with it just boggles the mind. And I will never forget a year ago tomorrow. I was out running errands, listening to, I guess, MSNBC or CNN on the phone, on the whichever app it is. And I'm going to the bank, and I'm going to this, and I'm going to the post office, and all this other stuff. And I'm hearing it unfold before my very ears. And radio does this. You get better pictures by radio than you get by sitting at the TV, because your mind's eye sees differently, more clearly, and fills in a lot of the blanks that can't be recreated on like a movie set. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when I got home and watched it, and they were trying to explain that. I mean, how do you explain this, what happened a year ago? I mean, you do a good job of explaining it. But even though you know what the deal is, it still doesn't register, or it registers so strongly as to
Well, it militates against everything that most of us have ever been taught, and maybe it's most of us of a certain age, Scott. But it militates against everything that we have been taught to think our country was about.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've pointed out over the last 4, 5, 6, maybe 10 years is that the developments in this new century in this country have done a great deal to pull away the veil and take from us our delusions about who we thought we were. We aren't. We thought we had. We thought we were working our way past racism. It's horrible now, and it never wasn't.
Yeah.
It just went underground for a while when it wasn't socially acceptable to say that shit out loud, but social acceptability came back.
They're gonna have to redo Schoolhouse Rock. There's a generation of grown-ups now who learned the basics of civics from that show. But if they had to redo it and put the likes of Jim Jordan and Mitch McConnell and have them be represented in cartoon fashion, they'd have to put a fucking rating on it, a PG-17 or whatever, for a little, I don't want little kids watching these monsters, and that's what they are, is fucking monsters.
Oh, God, I guess this is the night for me to remember things Rush Limbaugh said. Because I remember the great cleanest hunt of the late 90s.
Oh, by the way, he did.
He did. There's a cowbell for the both of us, particularly you. But the day after day after, my friends, the flag is falling. What shall we tell the children? Every night, our airwaves are filled with reporters talking about the sexuality and the sexual perversions of the President of the United States. What shall we tell the children?
Yeah.
And then he would tell a joke about a trans man having surgery and say, and that's when she got her adidectomy. Or, my friends, did you hear about the new Kentucky Fried Chicken Hillary Clinton special? Ah, it's two small breasts and a left wing. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, with talent on loan from God.
And extra-sized thighs. Yeah, that's... He used to do a Barney Frank update.
Yeah, there was that.
He played that song, My Boy Lollipop. But that crazy bastard, he's well-suited for his current condition, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's where you get all John Houseman and you say, he earned it.
Well, there you go. There you go. But anyway, that's pretty much the gist of why I called, because I really... some people swear by my TV viewing tips.
They do. I know some of them.
Georgistan does. I know that for sure. But definitely, folks, if you can do this, Google PBS Frontline American Insurrection and donate 90 minutes of your time. Actually, a little less than 90 minutes.
I would say invest.
Invest. Yes, invest. We make our money the old-fashioned way. Do that voice again.
We earn it.
Yeah, who was that? Smith Barney? Who did he do that voice?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, God. Anyway.
And well, it's all the, you know, those stentorian voices of those Shakespearean-trained actors who were kept alive during the Depression by virtue of the New Deal policies that resulted in an absolute explosion of art and talent in the United States. John Houseman was part of that. So too was my director when I was pursuing briefly my master's degree in acting at Alabama. And he had that voice, very John Houseman-esque. And there was story time with Auntie Robin. There was a girl who, she was a freshman. It was her first, it was her second semester there at the Capstone. And she loved her art, and she wanted to study theater. And, you know, she was a nice girl. And she didn't get a role in The Tempest. Instead, she was put on the set crew. And the set crew actually was part of the play because they wore all black. And the set pieces were very minimalist. It was basically scaffolding that just got moved from place to place on big casters. And she was one of those people, and she badly craved validation and praise. That's not a criticism. It's totally normal. People who study acting are very needy people. And she always wanted to know that she was doing a good job. And the director, I knew the person who was serving as assistant to the director, whose job was to take notes. You know, come down, you know, tell Miranda to come further down center, that sort of thing. And one evening, and they all wore these little slippers. They were like, you know, they had that like Mary Jane strap across the instep. And one evening, because they had to operate largely in the dark, and there was glow tape on the floor for the positions. But one evening, she pulled one of those casters across her foot, and it had to hurt.
Oh, yeah.
but you know, she was studying method acting and in her first or second acting class, and she was living her reality. And she pulled that caster across her foot, and it, like I said, it had to hurt. But then she put on a performance. And sitting out in the darkened auditorium, the director mumbled under his breath, "Suffer, Alice, suffer."
Suffer for your art.
And this is the same guy I was told, it may not be true, but this was the same guy who once screamed at an actor in a Shakespeare play who, you know, all he was a spear carrier. You know, you have those in Hamlet and things like that.
Yeah.
Julius Caesar. It, no lines, just a spear carrier. And he was just acting his ass off way upstage, you know, just living his role of spear carrier. He was gathering his sense memory and experiencing his life as a spear carrier.
With flair and panache.
And at note time, this may just be one of those stories that goes around, but at note time, the director looked up and said, "Spear carrier number 3. Damn it, man. Don't just do something. Stand there." Sorry, Auntie Robin's story time is now over.
Well, I like Auntie Robin's story time. Speaking of yesterday, after I was through busting a gut, Todd was on. If I send you something, and I think I did send it already, do you have a way of sending him a YouTube thing?
Yes, I can do that.
Because I've tried to reach out to him and find out how to communicate outside of banging on logs or, you know, semaphores or flags or whatever, because I sent it to you yesterday and asked you to send it to Todd. He was talking about the match game, and that he'll, when he gets that, he'll be happy he opened it and looked at it.
Oh, good.
What are you doing?
I'm rooting around here looking for a battery.
Oh, okay. Something dying?
Yes.
Oh, no.
And I'd rather it didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope it doesn't. Find your battery.
That's okay. I'm all better now.
Oh, good. Okay. Jeez. We don't need no equipment crapping out in the middle of the show.
No, and I had to root around in Robin's home for wayward hardware. There's a reason there's no video for this program. There's barely room enough in the studio for me and with all the stuff that's been piled up over the course of 20 years or so.
I've got a battery drawer, and I've also got it used to be a box. It used to be a bag, a big grocery sack, a paper sack, and it graduated to a big box of patch.
Now we call those pokes.
Pokes, yes, like pig in a poke. It's got patch cords. It's got coax cables of various lengths. It's got audio cables. It's got connectors. And you can't, if you want something from it, you can't just pull what you want out of the box. You pull from the top, and you get like a large ball of cable and wire. It's the most astounding thing. If I ever decide to become an artiste, I'm going to mount that thing and call it...
All right, it's a family program. I don't want to hear any more. Mount that
call
thing.
Call it... electronic mess and bronze it and send it down to the museum, and then what they do with it after that's up to them. But and one day I actually tried to make sense of it and put the twisty ties or the zip ties around it. I gave up after about 20 minutes because you just can't get to the center of it's like going a journey to the center of the earth. You just can't.
Or the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop.
The only thing harder to untangle are Trump's lies. I mean, it's that big of a ball of just ooh. So, anyway.
Yeah, Jeremy pointing out, we all have that box. And it's in whatever you're looking for, it's never the cord on top, ever. It's ever. Law of nature.
Never, ever. And manuals for devices. Every now and again, I need to refer to a manual, and if it's not online, then I've got to root around for the goddamn paper copy.
How long do you hold on to appliance or to thing boxes in case you ever have to return it to, for service?
Have you
ever actually returned one?
No, I've never returned anything because now the devices are getting cheap enough to where if you get 3 years out of it, you can buy another one. Call the place up, go online, whatever it is, and that's what happened to my DVD player. Just for some reason, it wouldn't recognize that there was a disc in it. And I said, well, screw this, because there was something I wanted to watch. So I ended up getting one that you can play DVDs and Blu-rays on it, and CDs. So, I don't know. I just don't know. As a matter of fact, I know what I was going to tell you before I go. You mentioned John Houseman. If I knew a way to make you a DVD copy of it, I would, but I don't have the equipment to do it. It would probably be easier for you to find a copy of this film that aired on CBS in 1975 that was based on a book written in the early 60s by John Henry Falk called Fear on Trial. And for those who don't know the name, he was a Texas guy who went to New York to make it big in radio and got a program on the CBS station in New York and was very popular telling stories and stuff. And he got fired. He got blacklisted. That's what happened. It was during the blacklist days in the 50s. Well, he sued the people who blacklisted him. And I won't tell you how it turned out, but he was smiling afterwards. They made a movie on it. Of the book in 75. So if you can find a copy of Fear on Trial, get it.
That sounds good.
It's a movie that is well worth your time. It's a typical made-for-TV movie, runs about 2 hours. But John Houseman is in it, playing, of all things, a blacklisted TV guy himself, an actor. And who else is in it? George C. Scott is in it.
So oh, wow. It's got to be heavy hitters.
He plays the part of John Henry Falk's lawyer.
And somehow or another, we have looped back to General Buck Turgidson.
That's right.
Honey, I'll be back before you can say blast off.
You old Bucky. How did we leave him out in our turgid talk, Tuesday turgid talk?
I don't know. Tuesday turgid talk on the horn.
And it dawned on me about 2 hours.
Titanic later, Tuesday turgid talk on the horn.
Yeah. Yeah, it just dawned on me. And I had to find the right picture, so I had him pointing his finger. So that his little turgid finger. Blast off! God, now he was a great actor. Houseman, I'll give him his due, but George C. Scott, he was in a movie, I can't remember. I think he was like a sheep farmer, a sheep rancher. And the military was, I hope I'm not mixing up my movies, but as I recall, he was a sheep rancher somewhere out in the West. And the military was testing a nerve agent or some sort of chemical. And it killed off his sheep or poisoned his water or something. Look that up. That was a good movie. And he goes up against the government and just is not happy with what happened, what they'd done to my sheep. And he also was in a movie where he's a Midwestern father, and his daughter runs away and gets exploited in stag films. He's very good. Was very good in that one too. Anyway, I just one of my sisters.
Yeah, was that the movie about snuff films?
Yeah, that was part of it. Yeah. But old Bucky will be back before you can say blast off.
Mr. President, you can't let him in here. He'll see everything. He'll see the big board.
This is a war, gentlemen. No fighting. Don't you know?
I've never seen such behavior in the war room.
God.
Mr. President, be careful. I think he's drunk.
I got to rewatch that. It's been a while since
Every now and then I just go and catch the clips. Hello, Dimitri? Yeah.
Dimitri?
did I mention there is a scene in The Beatles Get Back where Peter Sellers comes wandering in?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the set where they were planning to do whatever it was they initially thought they were going to do. What was that classic British film studio? It was there, and they had Pinewood. I think it was Pinewood. But they had it until January 31st, because after that, they were the crew was moving in to shoot Peter Sellers and The Magic Christian.
Oh, wow.
And so there is a scene where Peter Sellers meets the Beatles.
Yeah, now he was an interesting. There was a documentary about him a few years ago, or a dramatic film.
Yeah, the film it was by HBO, and I thought it was absolutely fascinating.
Well, he was a fascinating human being.
Oh,
I mean, never mind as an artist, the film, you know, a film person and a TV person, and on the radio with the Goon Show. He was wired differently is the only way I can describe him. And his family dynamic, if you know anything about that, was kind of.
Oh, and the two suggestions here. The movie was 8mm. And then John says George C. Scott movie Rage.
Yeah, that I think it was Rage. Yeah.
St. George, Utah.
Yeah, I know it was way out west somewhere.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Utah?
Briefly, yes.
I was there once.
I had my first case of altitude sickness there.
Really?
Yes. It was one of the most horrifying road trips that I ever took for not road trip, but trips I ever took for Coal River Mountain Watch. Auntie Robin's story time again.
I thought I was in Oz when I came around that corner and saw the big ass temple.
I didn't get to see that because I left here early in the morning to catch a 7 a.m. flight to Atlanta out of Charleston, which would then connect to a flight directly to Salt Lake City. Only I got a call from Delta down the mountain who informed me that the crew had not had their statutory amount of rest. And the flight couldn't leave Charleston until like 8, which meant I was going to miss my connecting flight to Salt Lake City. So instead, they put me on a flight to New York, to Kennedy. And I got there, and I had a 5-hour layover to catch a red eye to Salt Lake City.
Jesus.
So I actually got to, I was supposed to get to Salt Lake City at 1 in the afternoon. I got there at 1 in the morning. And was just beat up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it was at a resort called Snowbird, which was like, you know, 10,000 feet or more, and never seen anything like it. The mountains were, you know, amazing. But I was completely dehydrated, and I'd been drinking all the water I could get, and it just didn't matter. And started having, like, you know, pains in the center of my chest, and it's like, really, please don't let me die. And I don't know, is this some Mormon sickness or something? And then it eventually dawned on me when I was I was still a smoker at the time, and I had my Camel Wide Blues with me, and I went outside and stood next to the avalanche wall for a cigarette, and lit it up, and then noticed that the cigarette that I could usually smoke in 2 or 3 minutes was going on well past 5 because there was no fucking oxygen.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I'm altitude sick.
What is the name of that town where they have the big movie festival every year in Utah?
As we say here in the hills, you asked me too quick.
That Robert Redford is associated with.
Yeah. Dang it. You had to ask. If you'd left me alone, I would have just said it.
All right.
Sundance. It's the Sundance Festival.
Yeah. Well, whatever it is, I've been to that town. And it's a lovely little town. Or it was when I was there.
Kind of makes you wonder if we're ever going to have cool things like that again and not be worried about dying for it.
No, I've decided sometime between when we last spoke and just now, it occurred to me that, no, we're not even, I'm not fool enough to buy into the notion of the return of normal. Just kiss that. I mean, that ship has sailed. We're not even going to get remotely close to normal. Because the virus, the disease, and the mindset of the idiots is such that it's a perfect combination. And now you're talking about an avian flu. It ain't going to happen. I'll admit to it. You've got here the relentless optimist saying, no dice, no moss, no something. I mean, we rolled the fuzzy dice and it came up not good. And, at any point, had there been a different person in charge and less ignorant media, we might have had a chance. But I don't. Normal, you remember Normal? I hope you've got a picture of it. Put it in your album with those little things that you lick and stick and for each corner of the photo for your photo album. Normal is no more. The children are being born this minute who won't know what normal was.
And interestingly, since we're talking about viewing tips, if you have HBO Max, Station 11, I've mentioned it before, and it's interesting because there's a conflict, Don't Look Up is an apocalypse movie.
Yeah.
It's not a giveaway to say in the case of Station 11, the apocalypse is a particularly virulent form of flu that goes pandemic and kills off most of the population of Earth.
Station 11, I will definitely watch that. I watched Don't Look Up the other night, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Wasn't it something?
Just, I mean, and you do have to...
Why would they charge for snacks?
You've got to wait through the credits, because there's a big thing toward the end.
There's three endings. There's the ending before the credits roll, there's the ending after some of the credits roll, and then there's the ending after all the credits have rolled.
Yeah.
Well, Station 11 goes, but it shifts its setting. It can be kind of disconcerting early on, but there is a conflict between a disconnect between the people who lived life on Earth before the flu struck and killed everybody, before the apocalypse, and then there are the people who were born after the apocalypse and just have no idea of it. And so they're like old iPhones. And there's a scene where one of the young'uns is holding it and saying, you mean you could talk to this? And you could talk to somebody somewhere else with this? Yeah. Wow. Wait, and there was like music and books on here? Yeah.
Is this a recent movie?
It's recently out.
Okay, well, maybe that's why I didn't hear about it yet.
It took a while to grow on me, but once it does, you just sort of get pulled into that world.
Well, they're doing so much good stuff on the various streaming services. And I know I keep saying it, but that one that's on Showtime, Your Honor.
Yeah, still, I can't add another streaming service. I just can't.
Oh,
Oh, but speaking of your honor, I got a good one for us here.
Besides your honor, that's not the woman.
But there is a federal judge out there named Tanya Chutkan, and she gets it.
Oh, good.
Every insurrectionist, she's had 8 misdemeanor defendants come before her from the insurrection, and they've all gotten at least 14 days and up to 45 days in jail. And so today, 2 dudes were sentenced, Nicholas Peretta and Mitchell Vukic. They went in the Capitol, and they broke in, and then, of course, they sparked up a doob. And they each got 30 days from Judge Chutkan today for unlawfully parading in the building.
Did they get anything for the doob?
Apparently not. I guess they smoked the evidence now, didn't they?
I think I remember seeing
that. They set fire to the evidence. Yeah. They were in the Capitol for 25 minutes, according to the prosecutor's report. Vukic said he was one of the first 15 people in the Capitol. Got pepper sprayed and shot with rubber bullets, LOL.
Oh, God.
They went rooting through some congressional papers that they saw on the ground. Vukic boosted some of the papers and put them in his jacket, then threw them in the trash can later. And Judge Chutkan wasn't having any of it, and she looked at him and said, "This wasn't Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure."
Far from it. Jeez.
"Your actions were an assault on the American people. What you did on January 6th, it was no let's go check out what's happening." Because that's what their lawyers had argued. "This was a violent attempt to overthrow of the government, and it almost succeeded."
Oh, but Your Honor, it was nothing more than a youthful romp. Was that his defense?
Yeah, they were just carrying on.
Well, you know kids, Your Honor.
Yeah, I mean, they're just high.
Well, I've been high plenty of times, and I never...
More than 70 people have gotten some sort of a sentence so far. 30 of them have gotten jail time out of 725 people so far arrested. 725 out of north of 12,000.
Will we be hearing more from this judge? What is her name again?
Tanya Chutkan. Chutkan.
Well, I like her.
"Got pepper sprayed and shot with..." Dude, I got pepper sprayed and shot with rubber bullets. LOL. Dude. Jesus.
Well, I tell you, they must have been the ones who tagged along. Getting back to American Insurrection, Frontline, PBS, get the link, watch it. Those fucking, the ones with the Hawaiian shirts, is that the...
That's the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters staff, executive
those
staff.
Those fuckers are crazy, Robin. I mean, I don't need to tell you this.
No,
those, and the fucking Proud Boys, are you kidding me? These people are batshit loony.
They're brown shirts. They're the SA.
Yeah.
The Sturmabteilung.
I just... Because, see, I think it's going to come out, if it hasn't already, that some number of the people who were there are going to be like, you know, Beavis and Butthead, the two that you mentioned, all got shot with rubber bullets and tears in my eyes. They're hangers on. They're just, oh, this will be fun, just as a lark.
Well, they tried that with Judge Chutkan, but she pointed out that either Bill or Ted showed up wearing goggles, which means that he was expecting shit.
Yeah, well, that's not good for them then. Well, what I'm saying is, what is the word? There are tranches of participation in this thing. You've got the Proud Boys and the why can't I remember the name of that group? The I want to call them the Heebie Jeebies.
No, they're the Boogaloo. They're the Boogaloo Boys. And that's why, and let's do this again. The Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff. Figure out what that spells. Little bitches.
Boogaloo. But you've got that tranche of the group, and then you've got apparently Congress critters, staff people, if not Congress critters themselves, who are giving fucking traffic direction on where to run rampant in the building. Okay, and then you've got the religious element. And I'm sure there's some, there are hybrids of all these types. But then you've got people who saw something online and thought it would be fun, but they wore goggles just in case it wasn't as much fun as they thought it was going to be. And I liked what Merrick Garland said today about at whatever level, I think were his words.
Yeah.
I hope he is true to his word. I hope that there are elected people and people in places of responsibility who should fucking know better, who are tried and convicted and sentenced for this. Believe me, there's enough. We got plenty. If America in the last 20 years hasn't been good at a lot of things, we sure as hell have been good at building more cells and capacity for incarceration.
Yeah, but them weren't for white folks.
Well, maybe it's time for a change. Don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
Who's done the worst harm to our system and our society in recent months and years? Some guy that got busted because he had a rolling papers and a couple of crumbs of marijuana and a seed or two in his backpack? Or these assholes?
Right.
I'll let you think, and you can come up with your answer.
Na, 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 na. Yeah.
Yeah. But you get what I'm saying? Let's bring some of the brothers. They've paid their debt to society, whatever they've done. Let's free up some space for the people who really ought to be behind bars writing their books. Or in Trump's case, getting a ghostwriter that he doesn't pay to write his book, motherfucker. God, don't get me started on him. Now, what is the true story about why he canceled his January 6th counter event?
Well, he blamed the insurrection caucus, but the true story is he found out nobody was going to broadcast it live.
So that was it then. Okay. Yeah. See, that airtime's not so easy to come by now, is it, Donald? And you think 2024 is going to be any easier? You might be on some streaming service somewhere, but not even Fox News won't touch him, I'm sure. He doesn't still call into them, does he? I thought he was on the outs with Hannity or something, or one of them he fell out with. I don't know. It's just these wheels of justice. Would somebody throw some 3-in-1 on those things?
Yeah, they're a little squeaky.
Yeah, we need them to spin just a wee bit faster.
You were talking about hopefully there's some high-ranking government officials who, or former high-ranking government officials who might be, or might nervous. Reminds me of a joke. There was this nun who came into the liquor store every Saturday. And she got a fifth of Irish whiskey. And every time she did, she'd say, "It's for Mother Superior's constipation." And one day, the clerk is on his way home through the park, and lo and behold, he sees the nun sitting there on a park bench, got the bottle of whiskey in a brown paper bag, and she is drunk. And he says, "Sister, I'm so ashamed of you. You said this was for Mother Superior's constipation." And she said, "She's going to shit when she sees me."
So she only drinks it for medicinal purposes now.
And by the way, our buddy Kevin up in Mass says, Another ringing endorsement for Station 11. I like Station 11. Can't wait. New one tonight, or tomorrow, I mean.
Oh, it's a series.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
And
I like those, too.
Yeah, Kevin's been a bit worried. And I know Tracy's worried about him. I started out last Saturday with dry cough and slight fever. Fever's gone, but now I'm coughing less, yet I'm bringing up slight clear mucus. Got tested today. Negative. Got a bit of a runny nose. I've had all three shots. Been out of work all week. Maybe if I go back Friday if I feel better. It's funny. The dry cough and fever are Omicron symptoms. And yes, Don't Look Up was great. Well, that, and that's the thing. False negatives are a thing with the testing, and that's a problem. You can have a false negative and still be quite COVID-y. So, you know, be careful and stay safe. And, well, you know everything you got to do, Kevin. We just want you to be healthy.
The guy at CVS yesterday said that, you know, he asked me if I had any, you know, bad reactions to the first two shots. And I said no, except for a sore arm for a day or two. And he said, well, this booster shot, you know, you may have, like, flu-like symptoms or whatever. But so far, knock on wood, I've been all right. I've felt a little sluggish, you know, and I purposely timed it at a point where I wouldn't have to be out and about or doing anything. I could just kick back if I wanted to and drink my Gatorade. By the way, that melon Gatorade.
Not bad.
That's some yummy stuff. I you know, I'm sure it could be enhanced with some booze too if I were.
Well, if you want it to just it. If you want it to just sprint into your bloodstream, by all means. The booze.
Yeah, or I should have gotten a bottle of Midori to mix it in.
Ooh.
And a shot or so of vodka. Boy, that'll take you home.
Get you where you're going in a real hurry. I hear ringing endorsements for Deep Eddy brand vodka.
Oh, is that the one from Texas?
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. I suggested to Terry that she try Deep Eddy lime with Fresca. She said it was quite magic. But there's a lime and a lemon. There's a cranberry, orange, peach, and iced tea.
In the coconut, drink them both. Down.
But I was going to share something else along the way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, because we were talking about COVID there for a minute.
Channeling Nielsen now. What the hell's wrong with me, Robin?
Well, I think, but.
Doctor. No, go ahead.
But Tracy, and I think she mentioned on air at one point that she has, she had an auntie who has COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now it turns out she's got two aunties who have COVID.
Oh.
One of them is in the hospital with COVID pneumonia, which is bad. And three kids now have it because of their unvaccinated parents. And so Tracy gave me the permission to share. She said, I was getting ready to send this to my family group chat, but my mom talked me down. Please share with the Horn family. And
definitely.
Tracy is pissed.
Oh, no.
And righteously so.
Tracy pissed. You don't want.
No.
You've got a righteous black gay woman pissed. Are you kidding me? I don't want to be in the state that's happening. But go ahead. I'll shut up.
So she writes, okay, you know what? I'm going to piss off some people, but I really don't care at this point. I'll keep everyone in prayer, but this all could have been prevented if people were vaccinated. Just like when the NRA and Republicans say thoughts and prayers for victims of gun violence. Mass shootings would end just with common sense gun laws, much like COVID wouldn't be where it is now if there'd been a nationwide mask mandate before the vaccine and a nationwide vaccination mandate as soon as the vaccine became available. All caps, black people are dying. And yes, thank goodness for strong immune systems, but why are you taking the chance of not only yourselves getting sick, but infecting other people? This behavior is reckless, dangerous, incredibly selfish. You're playing fast and loose with not only your lives, but mine and others as well. It's because of people not getting vaccinated that we will never reach herd immunity. This illogical reasoning that you don't want the government telling you what to do is ridiculous. You wear seat belts, that's a government mandate. You had to put your newborn in a car seat or you wouldn't be able to take them home, another mandate. You can't smoke indoors, another mandate. And last but not least, you had to get your kids vaccinated in order to go to school. Yes, another mandate. These mandates are put in place for the health, safety, and well-being of not only you, but for everyone around you. Seriously, think about what and who you are putting at risk because of your freedom. Well, what about my freedom and others' freedom not to get sick or, worse yet, die? Just think about that for a minute, and I'll be sure to keep you in my thoughts and prayers in the meantime. Ooh, God, that'd leave it. But Mama talked her out of sending that, and because that would have left a mark. Hell would have yawned open wide.
Well,
but she never spoken. Yeah, she did let me know that. Yeah, no, nobody's talking about getting the vaccine. Instead, now they're talking about herbal remedies.
Yeah, echinacea is not going to do anything. You take all the vitamin C you want.
Yeah.
You can suck on a toad's hind leg.
I'm not licking toads.
But I'm telling you, she's right. She's absolutely right. And they get all bent out of shape. They get their little panties in a twist over mandates and responsible behavior. And yes, I believe in freedom. Yes, I believe in rights. I believe in liberty. But I also believe in science. And the reason we have these fucking mandates is if people don't, like she said, if they don't do common sense, basic, take care of yourself behavior, the government has to see the big picture, which is the welfare and the stability of the country at large, or the state at large, or the city at large. And sometimes when the two-year-olds fuck up, the grown-ups have to step in to restore order and get responsible behavior going on. So she's absolutely correct. I couldn't add another syllable to it.
No, I think, and you know, it's not anger coming from a place of dislike or hate. It's anger coming from a place of love. She loves her auntie.
A place of love and a befuddledness or befuddlement of people's irresponsible and stupid and willful misbehavior. It's not even behavior. It's misbehavior.
Precisely.
I'm so sorry to hear that that's going on with her aunties because.
Well, and we've got a member of the community who's down with it right now, and I'm not going to give their name unless they give me permission. But it's nasty. It's nasty.
See, and what is so horrifying?
And this is someone who. Had both jabs, just hadn't been able to get the booster yet.
Even when you do the right thing, the insidious nature of this beast against which we are trying to prevail, even if you do the right thing, you're going to encounter some nut who doesn't.
There are some 300, what was the number? Let me see if I've still got the story up here. There are some 383 active cases here in the county where I live. It's fucking Russian roulette, Scott.
Yeah. Well, San Diego.
Jesus, San Diego.
Extended the mask requirement till mid-February. I just saw the email from Channel 7 or Channel 739. It's... this is why we can't have nice things. You know?
Yeah. And people are scared, but, you know, if, like here in West Virginia, seeing, 39 counties out of our 55 in red, 9 of them in orange, 4 in yellow, and 3 in green. None of them in gold, which is like, you know, totally clean. How is this not like some sort of viral Russian roulette?
And see, once you're sick as a dog, it's like when they're processing your paperwork down at hell at the entrance of the hell facility, it's too late to start doing right. You know? Not that any of these people are going to do it, because they don't want to do right, because they don't, you know, they want to own the libs. Well, if I'm upright and above ground and you're not, who's owning who? What was that song from the 80s? Who's zooming who?
Who's zooming who? Yeah. I thought of that immediately. Old DJ. What are you going to do?
And the hits just keep on coming.
Well, I'm gonna roll on, and I got somebody waiting on the stress line.
We'll take them.
And you
and
have
tell
yourself.
I said hello.
I think you just did, and I will. Okay. I will just urge you to continue to stay safe. Okay.
PBS, American Insurrection.
And I think a bottle of Midori and a bottle of vodka would probably be wonderful with that melon Gatorade.
Oh, I'm sure. I'd start running laps.
But I think I would wait and see how the first one hit me before I poured the second.
Okay. Take care, Robin.
All right. See you, Scott. Later.
See ya.
Our buddy Scott in San Diego, and we move on to the stress line. There's Steve. Hey, Steve.
Good evening. How are you?
Can't complain. I'm on my way to my third 3-hour entire program, and I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you sound pretty good. I don't hear much tiredness, and it doesn't seem like you needed to unmoor the barge.
That barge has sailed.
Okay. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the whole Omicron thing. And again, really looking at what's going on. And I heard something very interesting. I did hear that apparently in the UK, cases have peaked quicker than they thought. But one thing I also heard about, people were very cautious to compare us to South Africa. The reason they said that was South Africa, because it's summer there, people are spending a lot more time outside, which probably contributed a lot to the peak being so early. And that's probably the same thing that's going on in Brazil, which apparently they're a little puzzled as to why cases there are almost non-existent. Which may very well be because it's hot and people are outside. And one of the one of the possibilities that a medical folks are saying, and I say this because my partner's sister is a nurse down there, is the fact that it may be that a traditional vaccine along with an mRNA booster might actually offer better immunity than full mRNA, double vax, and booster.
Possibly, but I got some news to drop on you.
Okay.
Tracy sent this along earlier today. The password is
B16402. One in France?
Yep. Brand new variant. Discovered in a traveler from Cameroon.
Yep, no, I heard that too.
Detected in early December.
Well, you know what really is really beginning to concern me? And frankly, and I know that it's no secret to say that one of the bigger issues is the unvaccinated. But the real two issues that, and I don't seem to see them reported as much as I thought I would, is that kids are really getting this. And kids are ending up in ICUs. And I don't hear much about that. And the other thing, too, is I just worry about the long COVID. That seems to be the real thing that so many infections that, again, may very well be milder than Delta, et cetera. But I tend to think that long COVID is what's really going to be the problem.
Well, the damage that it does. I heard Dr. Fauci talking and said that what they're seeing with Omicron is that it doesn't go as deeply into the lungs, that it remains largely upper respiratory.
Right.
So that's one of the things. Because time does draw short, let me go ahead and bring Tracy on alongside with you. Hey, Tracy.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Dan. Hi, how are you guys?
6 of 1, half dozen of another. Fair to Midland.
Yeah. Fair to Midland here, too.
Well, I'm sitting here working on this project that's making me nuts, so I'm taking a quick break because I hate trying to do graphic shit on my computer.
Ugh.
I'm working on Canva, and it's just like, okay. I think I'm making it worse than it was.
And I wanted to jump into one thing that you mentioned earlier. You transport kids for the school system,
mm-hmm.
and your schools are closed.
Yep. As of tomorrow, the schools are going to be closed. The school help group is a private school, and it will be closed right now until Tuesday. But the situation is definitely fluid.
Ugh.
You know, but it just coincides with what I'm going through with my family. I don't know if you mentioned it.
I already read your note.
Oh, you did?
Hotter than fish grease.
My aunt, her sister, she's my mom's sister. My mom's the oldest, so it's my mom's baby sister. And her sister that was born right after her. And then, but her baby sisters, I don't think her son is sick, but his two daughters are sick. And my nephew is sick as well that my aunt has custody of. And now she's at the hospital, in the VA hospital in West LA. And she has COVID. She was already diagnosed with COVID, but now she has COVID pneumonia. And it's all because they wouldn't get
Won't get a vax. And I hope I'm not airing family laundry or anything. You said one of them's about half a hotep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I know that makes you a little crazy on the front end.
Right. And just what I know, I mean, you read the note that my rant that, you know, because we have a family chat, and you saw this, that whole thing that I wrote, and my mom's like, don't hit send, because, you know, but at what point do you get into motherfuckers' faces and say, stop? At what point do you just stop giving people a pass? Do you just cut them, or do you just cut them out of your life completely? I mean, it's the same affair with people who voted for Trump.
Well, if you don't want to pick up the pistol with the single bullet in the cylinder and give it a spin and put it up against your head, you kind of gotta.
Right. It's like.
Otherwise, you're playing Russian roulette with your family.
Right now, we're supposed to be having a family reunion in July. I'm not going.
Where is it?
I mean, it's here. It's here.
Oh, okay.
But I probably won't be participating with anybody who's not vaccinated. That's probably why they're not asking me to help with the planning, because I would purposely plan stuff that you have to show proof of vaccination in order to be inside.
Let me ask you. The frustration that you have, I have the same, because how many times have you said these words to yourself? I don't get it. How many times have you said those words to yourself?
To myself? about go get it?
Yeah.
Or just have it in my head?
I don't understand these people. I don't get it.
Well, because my aunt, who's in the hospital right now, I was literally begging her. I've actually been begging her just like since Thanksgiving, but even before then, you know, because my aunt is, you know, morbidly obese. She has high blood pressure, high cholesterol, respiratory issues, and diabetes. And I was begging, literally begging her to go and get vaccinated. Well, I don't know, and all this, and I'm like.
And you say what really bugs me. What bugs me is it's not like we have a way to prevent this. This is not a year and a half to 2 years ago where it's running rampant and we don't know anything about it. We know about it. We know how to mitigate it. We have vaccines that either stop it or seriously mitigate the disease itself. So what? I don't get it. I don't know what else to say.
I just said, my mom talked me off. She said, please don't hit send, you know, because I read it to her. She's like, don't hit send. Don't do it. Just don't do it. So what I did, I cut it from the chat box and pasted it to Robin. It's like black people are dying, y'all. But the worst part is the propaganda that's out there that's being, you know, put out by white supremacist groups and think tanks. They are targeting black people with this bullshit and this lie, and they're making it sound like black people are, you know, they're preying on our fears. And
they're saying it's just like Tuskegee.
Right. Well, and it's nothing, because I cannot tell you how many people I have told Tuskegee, yes, there's a valid reason for you to have a mistrust of the medical system. How for never, they were not injected with syphilis. They already had syphilis. They just weren't treated for it. They were not injected.
And that's horrible.
Of course it's horrible, but get your facts right. They were not injected with syphilis, and they just had it, and they already had it, and they weren't treated for it. Even after they had it, you know, they came up with penicillin that could cure it, and they just let it go on into my lifetime. I think, 73, 74 is when it finally stopped. Shit, I was 8 years old. That part, you know, so like I said, black people are dying at a crazy disproportionate rate, you know, rate to everybody else. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, disinformation. And I forget, one of my teachers told me the difference between misinformation and disinformation. And misinformation, like, oops, like if I said something and it was wrong, but I thought it was right. Oops, I'm sorry. And then especially if I correct it. But disinformation is intentional. Getting dissemination of information. And when you have intent to put out bullshit and lies. You know, it's like
To harm people.
You know, or to say that the election was that Trump really won the election. See, here's my question. So if the election was rigged, how come, you know, if that was the case, every race that the Democrats were in, the ones that they lost, then they should have won, right? If we rigged the election, then how come some Republicans won? How come Mitch McConnell was really reelected? How come, wait a minute, where's Lindsey Graham?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say Lindsey Graham.
If these elections were rigged, how come Mitch McConnell was reelected? How come Lindsey Graham was reelected? Who else was reelected? So I don't. That means Lindsey and Moscow Mitch really didn't get elected.
There you go using logic, facts, and shit.
I know.
It's like the dude down south that you talked about. Was it in New Orleans? Is that where it was?
No. I was in Biloxi, even worse.
Biloxi, oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. I was like, as soon as I said it, I'm like, that's not where it was. And I thought, oh, yeah, Biloxi, yeah. I won't kid you. I've gotten to the point where I want to have compassion, but I just can't.
I feel
like saying, you know everything I know.
I love my folks. I love my family. I love them. I really do. But what's going on now? I can't.
I can't with these people.
I can't with these people. Because it's just, again, like the thing, you know, how I equate it, you know, my family, that, you know, you're in our thoughts and prayers and stuff. I said, you saying that thoughts and prayer is akin to when there's a mass shooting and the NRA and the Republicans say, oh, thoughts and prayers, y'all, thoughts and prayers, y'all. And yet, nothing's done because gun violence can be prevented. To, you know, what did they do in Australia when they took away all the assault weapons?
That was the Port Arthur massacre.
Mm-hmm. Have they had a mass shooting since?
Not really.
Nope.
Okay.
Now there was a mass murder, an Islamophobe went wild in New Zealand.
Right.
Yeah, but we can count on one finger how many times that's happened in, what, 15 years?
Yeah. Not 384 mass shootings in a year, which is where the United States was just shortly before the New Year's. More mass shootings than days in the year.
Mm-hmm. Have we had...
And we don't report on a tenth of them, literally.
We don't have time,
and we are frankly out of words.
Thoughts and prayers, y'all.
Because it's just the same people saying the same thing.
I feel horrible for it because it's like fuck it. Nothing's going to, you know, we can talk about this till hell, you know, in the media, you can talk about it till the hell freezes over, but until people like Joe Manchin get out of the goddamn way, too bad. And just one other thing, because we're almost out of time, and I know people are going to hate to hear me say this, but there is a part of me, and the argument never lasts long inside my own noggin, but there's a part of me that knows that there are members of the Senate of the United States who, when they think about getting rid of the filibuster, something inside them says, yeah, and then the Republicans take over and Katie bar the damn door. But the reason that argument always fails with me is because the next thing that passes through, down my synapses and neurons and whatnot is if Mitch McConnell decides he wants to get rid of the filibuster for any particular, he'll do it. You know, if he decide if it becomes politically expedient for him to get rid of the filibuster to pass an anti-flag burning amendment or to change the rule, the actual constitution, constitutional requirement for a two-thirds majority, he'll do that too, and see if anybody will stop him. Because that's how they exercise power.
And you know what else really pisses me off about that argument? It implies a fear of your own, of the party's own ability to win elections. If you don't want them to do shit, then win elections. Play politics as well as they do. I am just sick of the Democrats. Everything is about, gee, what if we do this? We have to be afraid that they'll do that. Like you just said, Robin, and Tracy and Robin, this is just us talking. Nobody else, just us talking. What we do isn't going to matter to them because they're going to do it anyway. And don't tell anybody I said that. I mean, Robin and Tracy, we all talked about it. It's between us three.
Okay. That text.
Don't tell nobody.
One of the texts that drove me to craziness is one of my nieces. Having COVID may cause severe headaches that left me. Now, this is one of my nieces that had COVID, who has a baby who's almost two years old, but she won't get him vaccinated. Having COVID may cause severe headaches that left me unable to look at my phone, get up, eat. Hopefully she's okay and able to receive some extra care soon. Peppermint oil, rosemary leaves, and I believe coconut oil rubbed in the temples takes away the pain immediately. Now here's my cousin. Also dealing with my daughters having, if they were all around each other during Christmas. Daisy is just getting her taste back. Thank God their symptoms have been more mild, headaches, et cetera, and Isaiah is in good condition, surprisingly, being in the same house. I've been having everybody over here drugged up on many herbs since COVID, being so things could have to take an even worse turn if their immune system was not coated and protected in some way thus far. Today has been a day so far emotional, just too much going on this side. Please keep us in prayer. And hope y'all have an amazing trip in Vegas. Sorry, I can't join y'all. I don't want you to join us. I don't want you anywhere near me. Because now your children have COVID. And so that means you've been exposed to COVID. And even if you test negative for COVID, you still have it. You've been exposed to it, but you could give it to me and my wife. So no. Okay, I'm sorry.
There aren't words. I mean, I don't have any. I mean, what do you say?
Well, you know, there we are.
And like I said, I believe I'm a strong proponent of prayer. I do believe in the usefulness of holistic healing, all that stuff.
But when that shit has been proven not to work,
okay.
Science.
Lie to me with that.
You know, I'm sorry you can miss me with your crystals.
And your chanting, and your incense, and your runes, and all, you know, your altars to pray to. Again, use all that. But give me, take the shot, y'all. Take the shot.
Bingo, we have a winner.
And one of my cousins, the one that really pisses me off about her and that holistic issues and how she doesn't trust the medical profession and all that, bitch got her lap band surgery.
Well, now.
So you will risk your life on a major abdominal surgery, but you won't get a shot? Because you're concerned of the side effects? Did they not go over everything that could go wrong with you if once you take that, once you get this? I mean, you might not even make it off the table. You might have a reaction from the anesthesia. Then, according, and then after the after effect of what, you know, I have friends who have had that thing, and it did not turn out well for some people. So. I know you have to go because this is the end of the show, but I'm tired, y'all. Because, like I said, this was at the last year, at the beginning, which now, I'm sorry, 2020. At the beginning of all this, I don't know if you remember me saying it. I just feel like that we're being held hostage.
Yeah, yeah. I'm tired of. And I guess it's what they call pandemic fatigue, and I'm not going to complain, but worry takes a toll on you.
And, you know,
and if you take this seriously, this shit is frightening.
And the worst part, we didn't have to be here. We have a way out.
No, this was all unnecessary.
And we've had a way out for a year.
Kind of makes you want to bark.
Or barf, or in the best
eat dirt and run rabbits. Yeah.
Dirt and run rabbits.
Well, y'all, look at this. Three straight days, I've made it the whole 3 hours. Yay me.
Excellent. Good news. Okay, so we end on a happy note.
Oh, and today is my baby sister's 40th birthday.
Happy birthday to baby sister.
Oh. Yeah. Happy birthday to baby sister. And another happy note.
I have. You know, even though her husband voted for Trump, but, you know.
And, you know, just a reminder, other places can get it right. Other peoples can do it right. I am so proud of folks up over, down under in Oz, because they were going to let Novak Djokovic into the country to play in the Australian Open. And the Australian people said, well, wow, this is like a kick in the gut. And raised hell, and now Novak Djokovic and his not-going-to-get-vaccinated ass is getting his ass deported from Australia before his dirty ass can make somebody sick.
So Australia vaccinated itself against him.
Yeah. And it is a good example. In an era when there are damned few of them.
Damned few. Well, listen, folks, I know I need to get running out of here. And I know y'all need to get running out of here.
All right. You take care, Steve. Yourself. Tracy, back to work. Coffee breaks over. Back on your head.
Yeah. Hey, but on another happy note, I have this really cool mouse. Because I have the laptop and I have a tablet that's a laptop, and I can with one mouse use have three different devices.
Nice.
With one mouse. Yeah.
Very nice.
Pretty nifty. It's pretty nifty. Anyway, y'all be good. Take care. And thoughts and prayers, y'all.
Tots and pears. All right, y'all be good. We'll talk soon. Later.
All right.
Take care now.
And so we come to the end of the program. Maybe we're getting back to something close to that setting on the dryer labeled normal. Thank you to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. We were kind of goose eggy to not kind of, we goose egg, so tomorrow it'll be $7.50. If anybody on the overnight crew wants to help, that would be mighty nice. Thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks so much to all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Thank you immensely. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice, and now a union shop. We have a new year, and the second session of this Congress has begun. We've got this year for the best opportunity we've ever had to end Appalachia's agony. We have the AIC Act, H.R. 2073, and there's never a bad time to ask your member of the House of Representatives to please sign on as a co-sponsor to that act. It means the world to Appalachia. Well, I think you've heard plenty of reasons this evening to do everything in your power to stay safe. Everything in your power. Hand washing, not touching your face, use hand sanitizer. Get the best mask you can get and wear and a few of them and wear them right. Maintain your social distance. Get your booster, your vaccines. And, you know, if somebody comes towards you saying, that wasn't really Black Lives, that wasn't really MAGA, that was Black Lives Matter and Antifa. That's who that was, January 6th. Avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. And always, 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 for all these years, Gina, it's all for you. Later.